forget about those. You did not get those handouts for the lesson last Sunday on the marriage seminar. I got a call from a gentleman the other day. He on our email list that receive our email every week, and he wanted a copy of the lesson. So we're going to get those out tomorrow to him, the CD as well as the three handouts that we're going to utilize. We're not going to begin that next week, okay? All right, so let's go ahead and begin tonight our lesson together out of the book of John, chapter 12. That's where we are tonight. All right, John 12, last week we talked about verse 2. Then I go back out of curiosity. Last week we talked about that word Pentecost and Passover and tied in those months of the year in relationship to April, January, February, March, April, May, in relationship to, and go back and look at that as we really looked at that to really, we knew Leviticus 23:15, what it mean in relationship to what's being said there in verse number 1. We talked about that. But let's go ahead and get started here. Verse 2, that's where we were. We talked about then they made him a supper. And we talked about the importance of they being there. Same thing is important to us. We being there on the first day of the week, our antitype, when the whole church come together in one place. Mary and Martha, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Jesus. And we talked about verse 3, that Greek word, L-I-T-R-A, the word translated pound, that is the pure nard, that word N-A-R-D. Mary, then took Mary a pound of the ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped the feet with his hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And the reason why I emphasize that point there in verse number 3, that when you're dealing with Jesus, there's no cost. Amen? There's no monetary figure. A lot of times, you know, we want a monetary Jesus, but Jesus is a gift of God, even though it says for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life that we cannot literally price Jesus in relationship to understanding the will of God. And then verse 4-6, then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, we should betray him. We should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And then Jesus said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put therein. And then said Jesus, let her alone. Against this day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. In relationship to understanding the whole point of Mary, the whole point of what she did in relationship to anointing the feet of Jesus, in relationship to the caring attitude that she had for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Another point that I want to make there. Yes, sir. That's right. That's what I've been to bring up. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, you should have been here Sunday, and because see, wait a minute, let me move on. After that lesson Sunday, you know, hair didn't matter. Keep talking. Well, see, the thing we got to understand, tradition here, that they did a lot of times took ointment. It was an act of a tradition that they did, but they never used expensive oil to do that. There was a specified oil that they utilized, but it was an act of, like the point of washing Jesus' feet. It was more of a traditional thing that they did, and the reason why, because they wore sandals in those days, and we didn't have paved grounds like we have today, so when you walk a long way from town to town or from village to village, where your feet got dusted. So just customary that they did that, and that act what we're talking about here, that they did use oil as a medicinal purpose in relationship to doing that. But like you saying, I was just going to get there, the Holy Spirit is trying, it's two phases that you want to see. Number one, the act of humility that was being done by her toward Jesus. And then number two, we saw that the fulfillment of scriptures being fulfilled in relationship to Judas, who was going to betray Jesus. See, Judas wasn't concerned about the cost of the oil. He was more concerned about greed. See, he was more concerned about, look, what we can do. Even in that verse 7, he says, well, we could have took that oil and we could have sold it. And if they literally took that oil and sold it, today's dollars would probably have been around $300. And we're going to take that money and distribute it to the poor. See, that wasn't his objective. That wasn't his intent. Because the scriptures already been fulfilled in prophecy that he was going to betray Jesus in relationship to doing this here. See, that's the point with a lot of people. People say one thing and their mindset reflects something else. Action don't speak in relationship to really the way they believe. So you're right. That's the attitude. And then another good point that you made, you was being facetious. That's the way wives or husbands should be toward their wife. Not so much that she got to literally use her hair, but we talked about that Sunday, didn't we? She being that help me, or she being that one that's going to be a provider, that one that's going to be a waiter, that one that's going to be someone that was there for him or her in relationship to the responsibility that we have toward one another. Even though we know Jesus wasn't married to her, and some people say that it was. Because some people say, well, that Mary may have been Mary Magdalene. That wasn't Mary Magdalene. That Mary was the sister of Martha, Lazarus' brother. But historians say it was Mary Magdalene. I don't believe that. I believe it was Mary, Martha's sister in relationship. But the whole point that Romans 15:4, that you brought it out, it was an act of humility that she had toward him that we should have toward one another. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, for example. I want to share a scripture with them. This is one of my most favorite scriptures here. It's found in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. See? Ephesians 4:32. When we talking about, and be ye kind one to another. See, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. See, we can't measure what Mary did. See, a lot of times, people do not know the love one has one for another. Now, sometimes people love is phony love. And a lot of times you can tell phony love. See, a lot of times people just tolerate you. See, that's not the Christian way to live if we're going to be truly light bearers. See, this is a lesson that we can learn. See, nobody literally knew. Now, we knew she had to love him to do what she did. See, that is that she's going to take an expensive bottle of oil and use it to wipe Jesus, literally the whole body. Now, the Bible says feet up to his head, But Josephus will tell you, literally, she washed his whole body with that. See, and I think that sometimes we need to just examine ourselves, even with relationships with our wife, or even our, let's start this way, with ourselves. You know, a lot of people don't even like themselves. If you don't like yourself, well, you're definitely not going to like nobody else, but it begins with me and you, right? See, that is that, will we demonstrate that kind of love, not only for ourselves, that we can, what, bring forth to somebody else, that act of humility. And that's really why I like Ephesians 4:32. You know, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving. See, that's the attitude that we need to have in relationship to being a Christian, the same way that Mary had toward Jesus. See, not so much that what does it cost. See, a lot of times we measure cost. See, you know the best thing that I like? Dollar stores. Because see, if your intent right? It's not a value that put on it, right? I mean, if you really come with the right attitude and the right spirit, it don't have to come from Brookwood, do it? You understand what I'm saying? It's been received in the right way. You see, it's just the love. It's just the caring spirit. A lot of times we think that it got to be really expensive to demonstrate love. Not so. Not so. See, you can bake well. I mean, you can do something for someone that they need it. You know, see, you can do something like that. That's what he's talking about in Ephesians 4:33. I think that's the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach us. Not so much the awe, not so much what she did, but let's use this as an example to learn how to love. Because guess what? Love has to be learned. So you have to teach people how to love, how not to be needy, how not to be selfish. You know, not have to do the thing that rob us of the ability to be able to love. And guess what, brethren? It begins with Christians. But if we can't love, how you expect the world going to love? Amen? It's not going to happen. And this is an example, and that's a good point you brought out, Randy, that it showed humility. Well, some folk may say, well, Randy, well, she was just grateful for what Jesus did for her brother. That may be true, too. But, brother, that was a relationship that went back a long lot further than when Lazarus did. See, she just didn't love Jesus when Lazarus died. That's a relationship that built over time, wasn't it? See, because they knew Jesus. That's the reason why they called Jesus and said, my brother is dead. Because they knew that they had a friendship. See, I don't think they didn't like it. I don't think they didn't understand why it took them so long. See, and that's the point. Sir? Yeah. But see, yes, sir. Yeah, but see, but they didn't understand. Yeah, they didn't understand God's will. See, I could die and be dead 3 years, and Jesus can bring you back. See, John 20 said, many miracles which are done, not recorded in this book, but they are done that they might what? Believe. See, it wasn't so much that Jesus brought Lazarus back just to bring him back. He brought it back that they might what? Believe. See, that's the point. But see, it's just like the human mind, even the apostolic mind. You remember in Acts 1, when Jesus got ready to send back to heaven, they still didn't what? Understand. See, that's the reason why he said, some of you standing there should not taste death. You see, the kingdom come with what? Power. See, John 14:26, 15:26, 16:13, it says they're going to bring back what? Remembrance. That's why he endowed them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? Because it had to give them power in order them to understand God's will. Because they could not understand it with just natural knowledge. Right? So that's the point. See, they didn't understand, you right. Now, they knew who Jesus was. Because like you said, they thought that Jesus could have came a little bit further, I mean faster. They thought that Jesus, first of all, their mouth thought that Lazarus should never even die. But that wasn't the point. But see, God, through his son Jesus, will had to be done. I get another point. When Judas made that statement about taking the money and distributing it to the poor, what did Jesus say? The poor gonna be with us what? See, that wasn't the point. See, that's one of the points. Look at verse 7 again. See, that's another lesson that we can learn. Look at verse number 7 again. He said, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the days of my burial has she kept this. See, this just didn't happen today. She'd been demonstrating love all along. See, she just wasn't nice to me today. See, she just didn't do this for me today. She'd been doing this for a long time. See, it was just her nature. He said, for the poor, always ye have with you. But me, ye have not always. It's like people just buy gifts on birthdays, Christmas, or special days. See, but they don't do nothing else the rest of the year. See, Matthew 6 said, let your light so shine every day. Amen. See, being a Christian is not 4 or 5 days a year. See, being a Christian, we love 365 days a year. See, we love always. We are tenderhearted. We love you one another. We forgive every day. See, that's the Christian way of life. Amen. See, and that's what she's saying here. She's saying that this woman here, what you talking about, she just didn't do this for me today. She's been doing this with me for a long time. See, to let her know that we as Christians, we have to adapt that kind of spirit, brethren, have that kind of spirit that we're going to love in spite of. We're going to love 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. See, that's what love is, amen? See, do what you can. See, Randy, you told me one time, that thing stuck with me, since you're here. And me and my wife were talking about this the other day, and we were just talking about life in general. And you said, well, one thing about life that I'm going to make sure my family, you know, make sure the light bill paid, the water bill paid, gas bill. I ain't got to worry about no cable. I ain't got to worry about no cell phone. But I'm going to give the basic necessities. Now, the rest of the stuff don't even matter. But how many times we get hung up if our cell phone get cut off? How many times we get hung up if the cable just pop off and you know it's going to come back on? See, we get hung up on things that don't even matter. But things that do matter, things that do matter, things that we need to work on. See, Judas had no business even saying what he said. Because he didn't understand what was going on. But how can you understand what's going on when your mind is messed up? You know, and like I say all the time, you hear people say, I just don't know why that person acting that way. Well, I do. He's full of the devil. Judas was full of the devil. He didn't care. Well, what did he care about? Himself. The only thing he cared about was selling it, getting the money so he can steal it. That's all he wanted. He didn't care nothing about Jesus, did he? Based on his action. And most people have the attitude. See, people say they like you. People say they love you. People say they're your friend. They ain't your friend. See, how many times we tell our children, be careful who you say is your friend. Well, everybody who say they're your friend is not your friend. But that's going to be applied to grown people too. See, a lot of people say they're your friend for they get what they can get from you. But is they really your friend? Is they your friend when it get down to babon? When it get down there, when you really need a friend? When you need somebody to be counted on? Y'all know what I'm talking about? When you can pick up the phone and say, hey, Ryan, I need you. I mean, is you my friend? Up until 6 o'clock in the evening, but don't call me after 7. Y'all know what I'm talking about? See, that's what Jesus was trying to get them to see. Yeah, the poor going to be with us. Ain't nothing we can do about the poor. And guess what? Ain't nothing wrong with being poor. If you got Jesus, amen. I think that's what's wrong with the world now. We got too much, don't you think so? Have robbed us of the ability to have that right mindset to understand really who Jesus is. Go ahead. That's it.
And all they did was get what they confused. So as long as they could see what they confused, and all they did was trying to believe, and believe wholeheartedly, because basically they were brought up on the law of Moses.
That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Go back, James, what you just said. Use that word confusion. See, naysayers, those who do not believe, do not understand, don't have that same mindset in relationship to really understanding what is the will of God. But go back, and you who have been here on Sunday morning know what I'm talking about. When he talked about count it all joy, see, that we consider, we think, we reckon, knowing this, that the trying, testing of your faith, worketh patient. But drop all the way down to verse 6, when he says, but let him ask in faith, and that's the key word. See, what Judas did and those who were around them did, they wavered. See, that would see, when your motive is not in line with the word, when your motive is not in line with God's will. See, the act was love. The greatest love that man can show is to love his brother. That's the greatest love we can give. See, you cannot love God and hate your brother. See, you go to 1 John 1:9, we talk about what fellowship. See, to have fellowship with your brother, you got to have fellowship with God, right? See, so the point that I'm saying, the biggest problem, you just talked about it. See, it was confusion. See, what the devil tried to do, the devil works through us, don't he? See, the devil works through us in order to get his will done, right? See, and what happened is, when the devil see us to have a lack of faith, or we don't know, or we don't count it all joy. See, those are things that we do every day, because see, we never want to get into a confused state, a debatable state, a variable state. See, a state whereby God is the author of confusion. Do you not realize this book here is about peace? If Judas Iscariot really knew Jesus, he never would have said that, would he? But the devil worked through him. See, the devil worked through people. See, the devil worked through people to get his will done. See, because the devil did not want Jesus to be glorified. Because, see, the devil knew that Jesus was going to go to the cross and die. He already had failed one time, didn't he? See, he failed the first time of Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of time, God sent forth the Son, the law to redeem mankind, that through the seed of a woman, that he will come to redeem mankind. So he failed that time. So the second time to fail would be the death of the cross. So what God did, what the devil do, the devil allow us to be double-minded, don't he? See, why are we double-minded? Before I go to Sean, why would he make a statement like that? Why do people talk debatable when it comes to God's word? When you read something in God's word, why do people want to debate God's word? We want to be what? Right? Based on our will. On what we want. So it's selfish. Well, when you say Jesus was that way, huh? See, he said, we could sell it, right? Take the money and give it to the poor. Was he concerned about the poor? No. What's more important? What's more important, doing God's will or being concerned about the poor? You understand what I'm saying? Jesus said the poor going to be with us what? Always. So don't worry about that. But the only thing you need to be concerned with is doing my will. You understand what I'm saying? It's like over in the book of Romans, it talked about they got zeal but not according to what? See, you got a lot of people doing a lot of good, right? But the good don't match up to the word, right? So what you're saying, well, I'd rather do good and don't worry about the word? You understand what I'm saying? People say, well, look all what they're doing. But it don't match up with the word. Now, Judas had a good idea. You could have took $300 and fed a lot of people. Jesus really didn't need that bathing in oil. Right? If you look at it in a human eye, does that make better sense? Think about it. Does that make better sense? Would you rather have fed 200 people with $300 or wasted the oil on Jesus' feet? You see what I'm saying? But that's the mindset we have when we are double-minded, right? When we don't count, when we don't test, when we waver, when we're double-minded. Y'all understand what I'm saying? See how you can apply that? And that's the point that we need to see. See, stay in the Word. Let the Word be the ending factor. And see, when the Word is the ending factor, when you do everything based on the Word, then everything going to be all right. Go ahead, Sean. Mindset. That's right. Before I go around, based on what you said, do you believe that Judas thought before he spoke? Or because he was already preconceived with evil, evil came? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all understand what I'm saying? See, that's what we're saying. See, the Bible says count it all joy. See, when you let the Word of Christ dwell in you, right? When the Word is there. See, when you transform your thinking. See, when you do that, when you think, you reckon. See, how many times I say, before we make a decision, it must be tested by the book. Right? Right? So that the decision we make line up with the book. How many times have we made bad choices? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And those bad choices was caused by three factors. What we saw through the lust of the eyes, right? What we lusted at through desire, right? Because of the pride of life, we look at what everybody else is doing, right? See, those are the three factors that control sin, right? So think about what you just said, Sharon. That's a good point. See, when we don't think, well, how can you think when your body is not a temple of the Holy Spirit? Right? 2 Corinthians 6, right? See, so what I'm saying, how can you think? How can you reckon? You can't do it. See, he just spoke based on what he saw. And what he saw was greed. You ever did something and hate you did it maybe 6 months later? You ever did something and then 6 months later, you said, I shouldn't have never done it? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some people in marriages like that. They with them, but they wish they had never met them before. Or people say, well, you ruined my life. I wish I'd never been with you. Because they did it for the wrong reason. You understand what I'm saying? So what you said is right. See, that's the reason why you got the Word of God. Because see, if he knew, if he understood what love was, if he understood what Mary was trying to do, that never would have came out of his mouth. But see, he couldn't help it from coming out of his mouth because that what was in him. It was in him. See, don't never be surprised at what the world would do because it's in him. See, it's in them. Ain't nothing you can do about it. And the only way going to get out of them, they got to be transformed out. Not conformed, but be transformed out. It's a growing process, see, that we have to go through. And I say it all the time, you know, it's not something that happened overnight. It didn't take you overnight to get into it. and it's going to take you a while to get out of it. But you just got to stay in the book every day, have that right mindset, grow, examine, count. Eventually, your mindset will see and understand what is the will. See? And that's what's wrong with the world. See, the world is just consumed. It's like the gun issue. See, they don't even understand. Man, they're still trying to figure out what to do. They're still trying to figure out what to do to solve this problem. I know what to do. I can solve it tomorrow if people will listen. But they don't want to hear that. You know why they don't want to hear that? Because, see, they still got that mindset. Well, I better get me 2 assault weapons. I better prepare for the onslaught because you ain't going to come in and take what's mine. Well, why you even worry about that anyway? And that's the point. Go ahead. Who had the hand up? Go ahead. Your food. That's it. That's right. That's right. Well, tell the truth. How many times we've been through that? Tell the truth. How many things we don't been through in life? And we look at it, and you really tell the truth. See, the problem with us, a lot of times, things happen, and we don't examine. See, for everything done, there's a reason. Things don't be done without a reason. The law of reciprocity of Galatians 6 is a sowing process. Life ain't nothing but a big old sow lesson. You either sow right or you sow wrong. You sow right, you're going to reap everlasting life. You sow wrong, it's going to be corruption. And then you sit back, and you look at it, and you really say, man, if only I could turn back the hands of time, right? I would do it this way. But see, you can't turn back the hands of time. The only thing you can do is thank God that God gave you grace to still be here in order to make corrections. So you don't do it no more. You know what? Every day you wake up is a blessing, amen. With good mindset, spiritual mindset, right? See, it's like I said, God blessed us with 2013. You know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at this church getting better and better, gooder and gooder, growing, becoming perfect and perfected. Why? Because the only way you're going to do it, you got to stay in the Word. Amen. You got to leave out the Word, but you got to stay in the Word. So we know the difference. See, with Judas, the statement was made, he should have never even been born. Some people live and die, they just wasted their life. Anytime you die and wake up in hell, your life wasted. Because, see, you was here, didn't know why you was here. See, well, there's a profit of man to gain the whole world and do what? Lose his soul. But, see, the good thing about it, I'm going to go around, the good thing about it, and that's what you just said, that Judas, see, he hung himself. See, Judas was never able to come with mindset to say, yeah, I was wrong. I shouldn't have never sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. I did this here. God, please forgive me. Peter was in the same condition, wasn't he? What did they say when the cock crowed? See, did he say that? But what did Peter do? God still used him to step on the day of Pentecost and preach the first gospel sermon. Because what? He had the ability to repent. So what I'm saying is, brethren, any times, it's no matter how bad your life may be, or how bad situation may be, God's grace still is sufficient. He told Paul that, didn't he? My grace is sufficient. But look at each day as a new day. See, be truthful with yourself. Stay in the Word. Count. Test. Don't be double-minded. Don't waver. Because if you double-minded and waver, you'll never understand and do the Lord's will. Go ahead, brother. No, come on, I'm enjoying you, brother. No, you did good. I'm glad you're talking. Oh, we probably won't be able to hear, but that's all right, I hear you. We're going to fix that. Yeah. That's right. That's it. You hold on class night. I just took it. Go ahead, bro. Come on. That's right. That's right. That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Now, I was asked, well, I don't understand why we can't talk. I said, well, it ain't for me to get, you know. I said, now, your husband is supposed to be able to speak today. I didn't learn it from him. I learned it from when I was in the church. I said, well, if you look at the Word of God, you should be learning it and doing it and doing it.
But you know what, Randy?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, keep on. That's it. That's it. Say it all the time. Say it all the time. Okay. But go back to what you just said. What make one think like that? Seriously. Sin. Now, you can call it any way you want to call it. Randy, you can talk to those people until they blew in the face. But until they have a desire, as Peter said, at Newborn Bay, desire. See, they got a desire, the sincere milk of the word, see, in order to grow. See, Ephesians say, go to Ephesians right quick. See, the problem with most people is that Ephesians 5, they are unwise. But they don't want to understand what is the will. See what you just said, man? You gave Abraham, you gave Adam. See, you gave all those examples, how God. See, the reason why they don't understand, because, see, it's more than what you just read over in Timothy, 1 Corinthians 14. It's more than that. See, you got to go back, and they got to go back and see why. See, why did God even say that? If he never said in the Garden of Eden, that would never be a problem. Right? See, Matthew 19, we talked about it Sunday. He said, you got to understand, this was done from the beginning. Right? Genesis 2, right? And until you understand that, I'm going to tell you another problem. See, the problem with the Church of Christ is this. And y'all correct me wrong. It makes no difference where you go to church. We all supposed to be speaking the same thing. Right or wrong. We all use the same word. Right? An individual should never leave another individual over doctrinal issues. The reason why is because somebody's wrong. Because both can't be right. Right or wrong. Am I right, Randy? So what I'm saying is that if you're going to leave another congregation over doctrinal issues, well, Matthew 18 said, well, if you got all, well, go back and straighten it out. Let us reason together so we all can speak the word. Now, the devil don't want us to speak the same thing, right? The devil don't want us to be what wise. He don't want us to understand what is the will of the Lord. And when you use that phrase, see, that's a shame and a pity that a sister would say, let me go ask a seasoned brother. That's not even a scripture term. We all a brother, amen? You tell me once you pass Acts, those 21 brothers, where some going to have more knowledge than others? We all supposed to be brothering, am I right? Now, what make you more better than me? See, that's even a scripture term. See, they go there to get advice because, see, they want to correlate their own belief because they know what they're going to tell them. It's like their favor. They favor. What they want to hear. They what they want to hear. Yeah, Peter was a brother who was in error. And it was another brother who came and taught him the more perfect way. See, he wasn't a seasoned brother. He's our brother. We are brothering and sisters in Christ. I understand. Well, look at the situation. I mean, you got brother been in church 30 and 40 years. A ladybug. We've been in church. You got some brother been in church 30 and 40 years, still in error. They're unwise based on what they do. Well, that don't make it right for you to know what's right. And just because they've been in church 30 years, they supersede your knowledge. It don't work that way. The only thing we're gonna go on is the word, right? Another thing, this is what I can't understand. We can sit here and study with denominations. People read Mark 16:16, and we say, you see what it says about baptism? They say, oh, I don't see it. Why don't you see it? It's in the book. Don't we tell them that? Why come you don't understand it? It's in the book. I don't understand why they don't see that. But when things come up, when you disagree, and then you go over the same book and read to them, why you don't understand that? Well, you don't understand, I'm telling you, brethren, until you get sin out of your life. See, go back to the lesson. See, Judas had sin in his life. If sin never would have been in Judas' life, he never would have made the statement. If sin never been in that sister's life, she wouldn't have never made that statement. And that's what it was. She's being her mouth, her action, her mindset is being delivered through the pride of life. You know why? Because it's too much choice. And what I mean by that, we all supposed to speak the same thing, right, Randy? So if we all speak the same thing, if you believe by women keeping silent, you believe it, you believe it, you believe it, all churches of Christ supposed to be speaking the same thing. But because choice is there, they can leave here and go somewhere else where they can. Now that's the problem, right? What? Go back. That ain't got nothing to do with it. The reason why I ain't got nothing to do with it, though we always tell people about the dispensations, when did Mary live? During the life of Jesus, right? When the law still in effect? Am I right? Am I right? That thief on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me when you get to paradise. Am I right? People say, well, he wasn't baptized. He didn't have to be baptized because baptism was in effect. Am I right? We still was under the word. See, that's the reason why. Go back to Ephesians. See, when you are unwise and when you don't understand and when you want your will, you're going to throw everything out there at you. But it don't make sense. What you just said, when I tell you something else. Jesus looked down at John and said, behold my mother. Now somebody say, well, John, the apostle, he was the last apostle to die. The reason why he didn't die a martyr's death, because Jesus looked out for him. You can't find that nowhere in God's word. He had to take care of Mary. You can't find that nowhere in God's word. Huh? Yeah. Oh, bro. Hold on, bro. Okay. And the reason why I'm saying that, I don't care what you say, until people have that desire to want to do right and they want to study to show themselves approved. See, you got to have a desire to do that. Let me tell you something. If you're wrong, you're wrong. But one thing about wrong, thank God you're still breathing. You can make correction. See, you don't want to be wrong and be dead, right? See, that's the good thing about life. See, that good thing about each day we live, John, he give us one more day to count, to study, to grow, to transform. So if we got it wrong in us, we can what? Make it right. But in doing so, you just got to let the word of God work in your life and quit debating. They double-minded. See, and that's the problem. Last comment. And we'll be at 8 o'clock. Go ahead. Not just joking. Oh, yeah. They don't tell it then. Yeah. 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 Hey, but baptism on John baptism was not a baptism for remission of sin. Baptism on John baptism is a baptism of preparation. See, that's a whole different baptism. It couldn't save him. Because it could have, Acts 19, when the question was, have you received the Holy Ghost? We hadn't even heard of the Holy Ghost. See, well, unto baptism were you baptized? John's baptism. See, if that baptism was valid, number one, then that would have to be what? Rebaptized. So we do know that. So what I'm saying is, see, when you take the Bible, those 66 books, you got to take everything in its proper context. But that ain't got nothing to do with it, Randy. You can be as ignorant as you want to be. You can be as wrong as you want to be. You can come in here tonight, and the lesson we taught tonight about Judas Iscariot and his mindset that he had, and you can go home and take it, and you can examine it, and you can count it, and guess what? You can make correction from it. That's the reason why you're here. But what good is coming here when your mindset is closed to what you want? And that's the problem. And the sad thing about the problem is, here we go again, and that's that free moral agency that we have, is that we got too much of choice. Am I right? See, that is that when you start adding to God's word and when you start doing what you want to do, then you can choose, well, I don't have to stay there and keep quiet because I can go down the street where we can read scripture. I'm serious. You laughing. It's a church in Birmingham did it. See, let a woman read scripture, leave singing. See. Someone telling me today, there's a church in Nashville, you know, denomination of preachers on the program. See, it's going on, bro. It's creeping in. It's creeping in because sin is in the camp. And until people get back to God's word, I'm telling you, man, and stick to God's word. Don't let nobody change you to the left or to the right. And keep preaching that way. And that's the only way it's going to be. I mean... Now I'm like, who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I know it. I'm your father. Yeah, that's all right. Why you categorize me with you? That's all right. That's right. Stick to it. That's it. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, see, that's the human side. They got that right. And then. Yeah. Well, they don't. They don't believe that right now. It's not a joking matter. It's serious. If God the Father could, well, not if, I know he know. But this is shame what the church has become. And I really don't like it. I'm offended. The people in the church. The people in the church. The attitude that they have. And then the sad thing about it, how in the world a church going to grow to understand when you got men in the church got wrong objectives? People who lead you. See, when your leadership is wrong, how you going to be right? See, and I'm going to tell you, this thing about marriage, like I told my wife, y'all know what's going to happen? Women going to be fighting with men to get men. See, men just going to men like they crazy. Did y'all hear what I just said? It's going to happen, I'm telling you, man. These men gone crazy. Y'all think I'm playing? See, and sooner or later, y'all women going to be competition with men because they're going to be taking y'all men. Your wife, the devil, man, is busy, man. Look at the world today. You see more and more. It's happening. It's being accepted in the church, out of the church. You got women, lesbians, bishops, preachers, everything else, right or wrong. See, the devil, you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. See, preachers don't teach them that no more. They don't say it's an abomination. You know why? Because, see, preachers are paid big money. And they're not going to stand up and offend nobody. Amen. It'll stop that paycheck. Right or wrong. So they're going to tell you what you want to hear. So what I'm trying to tell you, brother, is this here. Stay in the word. I talked to you the other day. I said, Randy, I called you New Year's Day or New Year's Eve, one of them. I said, Randy, I said, I'm glad you're still my friend. I ain't got but three. You said, yeah, I'm one of them. And I'm glad you're my friend. But that's all right. But that's all right. You know what? That's all right. So what a friend we have in Jesus. And that's all that matters. See, and that's the point. All right, well, we're out of time. Come on, John. Wait a minute, y'all. I got to let John work. John about to jump out of this seat. Come on, John.
In Matthew 16:23,
yeah.
24,
uh-huh.
The Bible said we have to deny self.
Deny self.
And until we can deny self, God can't use
it. That's
it. But Satan can.
He will.
God can't use it as long as self
is in
the way.
That's it. And he will. And he will. And get what, John? He know who it is. He know who it is. He know who to pick at. See, he know who would destroy a church. He know who's going to cause confusion. He know the ones going to mess up for mind. And you know the crazy thing about mind? You know, when you don't study for yourself in order to have intelligent decision making, and you allow somebody else to decide for you, something wrong with you. See, nobody should affect your mental thinking. Right? You should study for yourself, right, to be able to make a right choice. But always the devil take one person. Then one thing about the devil get his disciples. Then they all work together, right? See, then what they do, they start at the top. They say, well, it's Ham's fault. He the one brought that mess here. Then Al's fault. See, and that's just the way it works. See, Because see, what he want to do is conquer. But he already have conquered. And the sad thing about it. So I'm going to close by saying, you know, stay in the word. Because the word going to be right. See? And just go back and look and see. See, the problem, you know, the problem is people just won't study. They're just too busy. They just won't study to see. If they see and understand, they'll feel much better. See, same thing we talked about Sunday. You know what the problem was? When apostolic doctrine came, if people never added another service, we never had the problem. You know, the problem came in when we start adding, getting people choice. But there are the church, you just can't find it. It said when the whole church came, what they did, they came that time for those five items. That's what they did. You knew that's what we were going to do. But later added. Go back and type in Google it. Type Google Sunday school. Google it and see when all that came in. Around 1800. Before then, we all just came together on Sunday for one purpose. But that's the problem you're having when you start adding to it. See, you start changing God's word. So you're going to have confusion. All right, I'm out of time. We appreciate you. Okay. I accept your apology. But I'm glad you got truth. Well, I thank God I've been whooped on for 30 years. And I'm a big boy. And John, I make you a break you. I remember when I left Norwood that Sunday, a sister came to me and she said, "Brother Lyle, don't leave the church." And that even crossed my mind because the church wasn't the problem. It was the people. And guess what? I've been catching the air since then. See, but that's all right. See, when that plane lands, that I'm waiting on that plane to land. Amen. That's all I'm waiting on, okay? All right. Thank you, brother. What a time we had tonight. Amen. Woo. Thank you, bro. I appreciate that. Hey, Rodney, you take it half play. Boy, you ain't half up here on Wednesday night, boy. We sure enough have a class, will we? Okay, we appreciate you so much. That's good when y'all know I'm being facetious, don't you? All right. Don't forget about Saturday at 10 o'clock. Sunday morning, be with us all day. Got great things planned. Let's pray. Blessed Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank thee for all thy many blessings. Now we depart and go our separate way. May the grace of God, sweet communion, the same, rest and abide with us till we can meet again. In Jesus' name we say together, amen. Y'all be blessed.